Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple. If you've tuned in for the live show and we're not there, that's because we moved it. If you didn't listen to the podcast before Christmas, from now on, the Mac Show will be 7 p.m. on a Thursday evening UK time. So that's 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and midnight, no, 2 a.m. Filipino time. So there you go. And obviously when we hit daylight savings time, this is all going to go belly up and we'll get it completely wrong. But Mac Show is going to be 7 p.m. on a Thursday. Big Show is going to be 9 p.m. on a Thursday. And based on the fact it's now 7:15, we might just make it. Joining me to discuss the Christmas in Apple that there was in the new year, great team. How you doing all? Start us off, Lee.
Hi, how's it going, guys? I'm all right.
Happy New Year.
Christmas. Quiet time with Apple, isn't it, a little bit? But yeah, I'm back in work now, unfortunately, though.
Bad luck, mate. Happy New Year to all the listeners as well. I forgot to say that at the start.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
I've been drumming that into my head all week. Say Happy New Year. Say Happy New Year. I know it's nearly a weekend, but say Happy New Year. Cut that up. Next to him, feeling much better now, Adam. What was up with you, mate?
Just trying to stay dry.
Muller's trying to do the same thing, but it's a completely different meaning.
The cold rests through the rests through the family.
Oh man,
you know, and now we're getting tornado warnings
in California.
Ooh. I know. Can you believe it? Nuts.
It's 2012. All over.
Yeah,
again.
The apocalypse is upon us. It's been downpouring, so we've had drought all year. I can't water my lawn and anything like that, and now, instead of just, you know, some nice rain, all we get is torrential downpour and half of San Diego is underwater.
So you got a monsoon and a tornado rolling in. Bit of earthquake just to finish it off and you got a disaster movie right there.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, stay safe, buddy.
I'll be floating over to join Doc in the next couple months.
Okay, mate. Stay well. That's a good point. Could California break off down the San Andreas Fault and float out and become its own independent state?
We would gladly welcome Adam to the Aina, but we'll definitely have to get him a little bit toastier in his skin color, though.
And you could be Emperor MacCast. Emperor Adam.
Yeah.
You only have to wait a couple of, I think, million years until you will be part of Japan.
Yeah.
Or something.
Okay.
Not bad.
Fair enough. Talking to Japan, Doc, how the devil are you?
Aki mashite omedetou gozaimasu. Kotoshi mo yoroshiku onegaishimasu. AKA, happy holidays and merry happy new year to you guys. And may this year be as profitable and respectful as all.
Now, how am I ever going to improve my Japanese if you just give me the answer straight away?
Okay.
Because I got yes out of that statement, and you obviously didn't say yes.
Nice. There's this thing. It's, what is it called? Rosetta Stone. No, God, people, please do not learn languages from Rosetta Stone. That will get you punched in the face.
Really? Is it bad?
Oh, Rosetta Stone's brilliant. But it's useless for languages that don't use alphanumerics like you used to. So, like, if you want to learn German with it, it's fantastic because it works on immersion. So it's like, if you went and lived with a family in Germany, you'd just have to learn German. So you'd start pointing to things and it'd go tish for a table and that kind of, and then you'd get a boy sitting underneath the table, the younger ist unter dem Tisch, and then he'd sit on the table just to demonstrate and he'd go, the younger ist auf dem Tisch, and so on. I learned most of the German I know from Rosetta Stone.
That sounded pretty believable.
That was pretty good.
But yeah, geez, give it a grade, because that sounded pretty believable.
That sounded actually pretty good. I'm impressed.
That's what it sounds like when I read my BMW manual, too.
Ich bin ein Ausländer, ich spreche nein Deutsch.
What's that gamified iOS app that everybody uses, too, for language stuff? Now I'm blanking on it. There's a good one for iOS.
I don't know, but I would
really
like to know that. I use, to keep on top of my game, I use a service by a company called Innovative Languages, and they serve some 37 languages, but it's called Japanese Pod 101. They have German Pod 101, Deutsch Pod. They have all of the various languages. Anyway, what they do is they do situational stories that the announcer and that talk back and forth, and then they have you do a call and repeat thing, and it's really about a 10 to 15 minute podcast every day. You listen to it every day, and it's what we in Japanese school learned is called kikitori, aka a listening laboratory. And then so you're always listening and fortifying through listening. So even though I'm no longer in country, it allows me to stay on top of my mnemonics and, you know, proper pronunciation and all that. And if I the one comment I get from people when I speak Japanese is they go, wow, you do not sound like the average American speaking Japanese. And that's the highest compliment I could ever get, because most people say weird things like konnichiwa. There's no R. And we say karaoke when it's karaoke, you know, like, so Americans, they say sake, it's sake. Like, they add, you tell an American that this is from a different country and they add inflections on words that don't even need to be added.
Hang on. I mean, if I was to sit with Patrice, not that this is the Mac show anymore or anything, I'll edit it, don't worry. But if I was to sit with Patrice and talk my German, then he would go, holy crap, but I'm not saying I want to shag his sister. I am at least ordering the right food and saying die Rechnung bitte and ich bin ein das ist ein Koffer and that kind of stuff, ein Tüte bitte, you know, I'm actually saying the right words, whether I've got the right inflection or not, he doesn't care, because at least I'm not an ignorant British twat standing there and going, oi mate, I'll have the yellow one please.
But he just said your pronunciation was good, and I think that helps people a lot, because it makes it sound like you care about their language.
It's music, I think, because I copy really easily, so that's why I try with the accent, and that comes from school, because I used to do what everyone else did in French, and I would sit and talk Monsieur Lafayette, L.A., la bibliothèque, dans la voiture, and I didn't try hard at all, and then when I actually sat down for my exams, it was Monsieur Lafayette, L.A., la bibliothèque, en voiture, and it was trying much harder with it, because I wanted to get a better mark, and I got a better mark. I got a one instead of four. Excuse me. I think the definition of ignorance is if you go to another country and the first word out of your mouth is not the language of the country that you're in.
So the bring it back to Mac for you.
Well, can we introduce Patrice
iOS app
first?
Is Duolingo.
Duolingo, there we go. Thank you. Everybody uses. There used to be an app as well, and I don't know if it still is. It did the VR thing where you could actually hold the camera up to a sign. So if you were in Japan, you'd hold it up to the sign and it would translate it into English for you. That was really cool.
Google or Microsoft bought that, right? Didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And
integrated
into something else now.
Yeah, Google bought them. I can't remember what they were called now, but I know Google bought them, yeah.
And finally, Patrice, joyeux Noël, mon ami. So
Happy New Year to you guys.
I just said Happy Christmas, so I don't know what you're going on about.
No, Christmas is
right. Noel. How the devil are you, mate? Viguez?
Oh, pretty good. I survived somehow the Christmas craziness, so I'm here.
Good man. No more German markets.
Nope.
I was packed off and had buggered off by the 19th.
I think missed all the sales they kept days. It around till the, I don't know, the 30th year. But
yeah. Oh, well. We've had a letter. We've had a couple of letters, actually. I read one out. Did I read this one on the last show? This one's from Gary, and he said, I travelled to Dubai, to the Apple store, to the Mall of the Emirates, rumoured to be the largest in the world, although it definitely isn't. I thought I read that one.
Yeah, I thought you did, too.
Gary, if I didn't, sounds write familiar. To me, and I'll read it again, but thanks, mate. Excuse me. This one's from Barry. He's obviously spent a lot of time in over Christmas. Hi, Ewan and the Mac crew. I'm writing to you out of sheer frustration that for as long as I can remember, the podcast app has played the episodes from newest to oldest and not oldest to newest. I was wondering if there's a reason for this that has eluded me. I've asked everyone I know, though, and they have no clue why. Or I was wondering if anyone would know the name of the dipshit at Apple who thought this was a good idea, and thus I could then send them an email. Keep up the good work. Regards, Barry.
You can just go change the setting, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
in about every podcast app.
No. So does the podcasts app allow you to go forwards and backwards? Play newest, oldest, newest.
I think it's just a setting. I don't remember where it is. Now I got to find it. That's a
big problem. So you're all positive, but then.
I use Overcast now, so I've just gotten used to that.
No, you're going to do. He definitely said the podcasts app, which I don't use.
Yeah, so you can set it. You can set it per show, or you can set it for all of your podcasts. So if you go into the podcast in the podcast app and click on the little settings icon, the little thing that looks like the cog wheel or whatever, you can set the play order newest to oldest or oldest to newest, and you can do it per show, or you could do it for all of your podcasts. So
there you go, Barry.
The option is yours.
He's had a frustrating Christmas, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're going to send a screenshot.
And I think that even... I think
put it in the chat room.
One thing that might be troubling for people is I can't remember if that setting syncs or not. Some of the settings sync, and that's where people get thrown off, is they'll set it one place and then it'll sync every place else, and they'll think it changed, but they actually changed it.
Batwedge has obviously been drinking. She said, do German towns get English markets?
That would actually be awesome.
Well, I'm not so sure. Only if you want jams. We've also had a few reviews. Thanks to everyone who's left a review over Christmas. It's really great. If you'd like to leave us a review, it makes a massive difference to our rankings in iTunes. We've popped up sort of like 10 places just because of the few reviews that were left over Christmas. One from Mark says, really great panel offering entertaining rundown of the latest stories inside the world of tech and BTN. Networks podcasts are like having all of your international mates coming together in the pub every night for a few drinks and chewing over the latest tech news. If you're looking for a New Year's resolution, even, I seriously recommend subscribing to the network shows. They really are the best out there. There's one for Kyle as well. Kyle doesn't get to read the reviews actually. He's only got 5 minutes. If you haven't listened to the new show, you really should. Kyle does a fantastic job. He did 212 of them last year for us. Every single day there is an episode of the new show up, which is 5 minutes of all the tech news in a little tiny bite that you can listen to on the way to work. Mark's also put, wow, Kyle, the presenter is a superstar. Daily updates on what's trending in tech news, energetic, entertaining, and a daily bite-sized episode. Absolutely essential listening with the morning coffee. Perfect start to the day. Thanks, Kyle, for your dedication. Superb addition to the other BTN podcasts. We've got one from Kyle. Germany. Christian. The most entertaining Mac podcast on the internet. I like the British humour. I don't always agree with all the views expressed on the show, but I love the huge range of opinions. It's a refreshing show, a lot of fun, and definitely a source for information. Keep them coming. Don't change a thing. Hayborn says, just a quick review to say, great show, informative host, and I don't know about that bit, and guests especially, Kelly Darkrock, Adam Jeff Boy, a.k.a. Paul, Righty Boy, keep up the good work. And Nicholas has put, I don't know if it's St. Nicholas, now we all know that Santa Claus does for the other 364 days of the year. He hangs out amongst the distinguished as disguised as a professional photographer called Ewan Rankin. And when he's happy, elves are not busy delivering presents. They produce jolly podcasts all about our favourite toys from Apple. These shows are an excellent complement to Leo Laporte's Twit Network, slightly less slick. Thanks, mate. And American. And slightly less American. But the recent investment in a new studio has boosted the production value. Nice. And every Apple lover should try this podcast, or Santa may take you off the nice list. Thanks to everyone.
Maybe he can drop us a couple mil and we'll bring those.
Yeah, I could do
even up higher than they already are.
I could do with 6 million of investment capital. That would work. I can go with that. Thanks, man. The week in Apple, what's going on? What's been happening? What's going off? As you might be surprised, there's not an awful lot. Apple made 10.3 million, up from 9.2 million, according to a Mac Rumors story. But I think that should be billion myself.
For what?
It says Apple CEO Tim Cook earned 10. Oh, it's Apple CEO.
Salaries. The salaries came out because they had to do their filing for the whole stock thing. So we found out how much everybody made this year. Tim made the least of all the executive team. Everybody else made around 25 mil. Which compensation? Their direct salary is a million. And if you look at it too, what's interesting is apparently Apple has a policy where all the top execs get the same compensation because they each got $1 million annual salary plus like $20 million in stock options, and then there was another $4 million of something else. Angela Arendt came up a little bit higher, I think, just because of how the vesting schedule went and things like that.
Was she a part year or something?
Yeah, I mean, but in essence, every one of those top executives, Mysteri, Arendt, all of the team there made about 25 million total compensation this year. And then Tim was at like 10, around 10.
That's why I hate being dyslexic. That story means nothing.
Something that I kind of wanted to talk about today, and without getting way too technical about it, because I just find it, I'm glad that this finally came out. So there is a mathematician from, I want to call it Stanford, don't quote me on that, but let's say he's from Stanford, and he runs a company called Capital Market Laboratories, and he has a weird name. His name is like Oprah Godfrey or Ophir Gottlieb. Okay, I have a hard time with that. Okay. Anyway, in the last week and a half, there's been a bunch of analysts, as I like to call them, reporting about how Apple's lost this and Apple's lost that and Apple's failing because they had their, you know, the stock slid a little bit. And, but of course, every time one more adds onto that wagon, the stock slide harder. And so this guy finally came out and he wrote this great piece, which I will give you guys a link to read in depth through yourself. But he wrote a great piece that's not too, you know, financial nerdy, but he just pointed out for once and for all why all the analysts are wrong and how they're just being stupid. And here's the facts don't match what they're saying for the whole point of trying to sell what it is that they're trying to sell. Okay. And one of the greatest things in there was people were saying that, oh, Apple needs to come out with something other than an iPhone because the iPhone is 60% of their business. And through his research, he found that the Apple Watch and the Mac alone earned more than, I think, 200% of what Facebook earned, and it earns more than 50% of what Google earned. And then so for people to keep harking on Apple and what they're losing in money, it's like your facts don't line up with the crap that you're speaking. And then everyone's saying, oh, they need to come out with something else. Well, this year, Apple increased their R&D budget by 90%. That's crazy. Could you imagine if, based on the comment that we just made about the guy giving us money to make the studio more like Twit, what would happen to you? And if we can increase
that's production the price of budget sushi's by 90%? Gone up, hasn't it, for Johnny?
Huh?
That's the price of sushi's gone up for Johnny's team.
It's possible.
Muller's so called it, mate. Fanboy alert. We need to put a little slogan at the bottom when you go off on a fanboy rant, mate.
Yeah. No, this is no fanboy because this is based off of fact, you know? And yeah. I don't care. I like the term fan. You can call me fanboy. I'll get a fanboy tattoo on my effing head if it will make you guys feel better because I really think that word needs to go away. But yeah. There's nothing wrong with that word because I am a Man U fanboy. I'm a Notre Dame fanboy. I'm an Oakland Raider fanboy. We haven't won a Super Bowl in 14 years, and they're still my favorite football team. Like, real fans don't run back and forth according to who's winning. So I'll take that. Anyway, the last comment, which I thought was super funny, is this one guy wrote in 2013 on CBS that Apple is a dead company walking. I have to report the new form of analysis reveals that the best brand in the world is lost. And then he says, since Dave made that report, Apple has added $253 billion to its market cap, which is equal to adding the entire market caps of Walmart, Netflix, and Tesla combined.
Well, no, but that's not a comparison, though, Doc. See, we've had this conversation before. That's not a comparison. So it's all very well saying, we had this when the iPad sales went down, and everyone, oh, the iPad sales went down. And you were all like, yeah, but they sell more iPads than all of the other pads put together. That's not the point. The point is, if you're set up to make 10 million iPads a quarter and you're only selling three, then you've got a bigger issue than if you only make 250,000 and sell 240,000 of them.
100% agreed.
That's you can't compare those organizations that you've just listed with Apple. Apple are brilliant. Apple have created a market for themselves and a niche, and they are selling it bucket loads by the bucket loads. Good on them. Thanks very much. But there is Apple's death knell will be its success. It will.
Yeah.
The organization will pull itself apart from within before anyone else contradicts it.
But here's the thing that you're 100% right. If I can make it 99.96, and here's the reason why that 0.04 is missing, because Apple never ever said what they're going to sell. These a-holes always say it. They always make it up. Apple gives a number less than what they're going to sell. They always meet what they say they're going to do and exceed what they say they're going to do. These guys add an extra 20 million, and when it doesn't happen, their panties get twisted. That's the problem. And so you're dead right. I don't agree with you that often, but this particular case, you're right. But it's the fact that these guys create this trouble. They move the stock price back and forth so that they can capitalize, and most people don't realize that. These guys are in it for themselves and for their companies. They're never really coming from an angle of, let me tell the people what is right because the people need to know. And that's a little bit sad. And you don't really see this out of the analysts outside of our country. It's just that our country analysts are the loudest.
Well, proving
Apple's got a big earnings call coming up, and guess what's happening right now? Analysts are, they want the stock to go down because they know when the big numbers hit, they can cash in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. And it's nothing new. I mean, this has been happening for, I would say, at least 10, 15 years. Every earnings call, the stock.
Doc, you've had your say. Let everyone else in. Going back to those loud American analysts. Anything to add, Lee? Because you've been very quiet there, mate.
No, I mean,
very British.
I think the thing that's interesting for me is the timing of you know, when they bring in their stock options. I've not really read that post in too much detail, but that's normally a sign, especially if you're looking at key kind of leaders, whether they're leaving or they're looking at retiring. I didn't say that's sort of things that are interesting for me when I look at these sort of stories. Mm-hmm. It is interesting about Angela Arendt's earning difference between the other guys. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Apple, you know, from a stock market perspective, you know, it's just as it has been for the last, you know, X number of years, is, you know, there is going to be a point where they're going to be going down. You know, everything has to come down at some point, but that's the bit for me that's more interesting, is just seeing who's cashing their stocks and when. More than anything.
And Apple released another, and Doc Rock put that in the chat room right now. Apple released another number that they, I think over Christmas this year, they made, what was it, 144 billion, I think, just in
App Store.
Oh, in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So 2 weeks, a week ending on on January 3rd. In 2 weeks, but 144 billion just the App Store.
But you're comparing apples,
in-app purchases.
You're comparing apples and pears, mate. That's my point. Stop comparing Apple to other companies. Compare Apple to Apple. That's all you can ever do. From quarter to quarter, compare Apple from itself to itself. You are wasting your time trying to draw comparisons with organizations. It means absolutely nothing. I make more money than Apple per employee. No, I do. I'm killing it, mate. I am absolutely killing it. And my investment in equipment is tenfold what Apple is per employee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Doc.
Apple's R&D.
In different ways, but I mean, it does come back to exactly what you're saying is, you know, they're not looking at Apple versus Apple, which is what really matters at the end of the day. But in a way they are, because again, they're doing this to help move the price along in a way that they want. You know, you look at what their reports right now are doing to the stock price versus what they're saying they're you know, they're still got buy orders out. They're still saying Apple's a good stock to pick up, but you know, and it just keeps getting better and better the more of this stuff that they spew out there.
Yes.
Okay, and then here's why this is not a pointless comparison. I will agree that it's not the comparison that people want to make it out to be, but humans can't help that. That's just how we work. We compare things to things that we know in order to gain a grasp on the brevity of the situation. So I've said to people over and over and over again, how much is $1 billion? Because it is in my opinion that the average person walking has no clue the actual size of $1 billion. Like, what does that really mean? Because it's a number we hear all the time, but they don't really know what that means. I also say to people, I don't think that most people understand what $1 million looks like, you know? And what I explain to someone, especially those of the Christian brethren, right? I'm like, if you were to take, and I could give you a dollar every day since your Jesus Christ was born and died and resurrected and all of that, I would only be able to give you today, as of 2016, somewhere in the neighborhood, I think the number I had came up with was like $736 million. Like, that still wouldn't hit $1 billion. And that's adding over 2016 years. If I gave you money every single day, I still couldn't hit $1 billion. So like, try to add that up to get a grip when you say something like, you know, Apple's market cap is pushing almost $500 billion. I mean, yeah, overall worth.
No, but that's still not a comparison, because you've in the chat room, you've mentioned Facebook. I have no idea how Facebook makes the money it makes from twats who can't spell properly, who share cat videos, and who only use Facebook to arrange when they're going down the pub. I'm sorry.
It's mostly AdSense.
Thank you. I do know that, but that's a vaporous market. Ad sales or ad views is a vaporous market. It's awful. And yet people still invest money. I look at Facebook and think, you are investing in a crystal castle there, mate, because that is going to go shatter as soon as you like. It's frozen through and through.
I think they're onto some new things, but they don't really know what it is yet. And I think some of it is hidden from us, as true.
But Facebook is Facebook. Facebook does not make hardware. Facebook makes Christ knows what that sells at the moment, and people are into it because it's got a good voice, and that's it. It is utterly different from Apple.
Well, they did try to make hardware, but it didn't work.
You guys are also talking about tech investors and tech analysts who all they care about is really what's next. They love vaporware. They love companies that make no money. I mean, it's just that's the reality. I mean, if you look at all the analysis that people are doing of PE ratios of Google, Facebook, Apple versus this, why is Apple so dang low? You know, versus these other companies that lose money.
Well, do bear in mind that Apple's...
It makes no sense. None of it makes any sense. I mean, we could sit here all day and talk about none of it.
But Apple's also split its stock sevenfold in the last 12 months, don't forget.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's why I think Apple is a better investment. But, you know, tech analysts and Wall Street and stuff like that, they don't play that way.
So let's move on from this because there's no answer.
Before we move on, I want to just correct the numbers because I said it was 144 billion. It was 1.1 billion actually in 2 weeks. 144 million on one day.
Typical. Fanboy.
Yeah. I just wanted to get the numbers right.
Typical. So. 1.4 versus 144.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Patrice. That's not like carry the one, is it, for f***ing sake? Right. Supply chain has confirmed that there will be no audio jack on the iPhone 7. It's not coming. It is happening. You're not going to get an audio jack. A Chinese website, it's a confirmation in inverted commas, but they've gone through the supply chain questioning and there's no orders placed that relate to iPhone jack, and yet there are orders placed for screens and housings that they found. So there will not be a headphone jack for your iPhone 7, and I'm a bit pissed off because that's my upgrade cycle. I'm a 7, not a 6S. So what do you reckon?
How much does that impact you in?
A lot. An awful lot, because I travel down to London. I do tend now to carry my iPad Pro with me wherever I go, and I'll sit and watch a movie on my iPad Pro far more readily than I'll watch it on me. And I used to watch my phone when I went. So when I had an iPad Air, when the 6 came out, that was like, actually, that's big enough for me. I could watch that. But now I carry this around. I've got the pen and all that kind of stuff. It's far more utilitarian for me. I tend to watch on the iPad Pro.
Why are you not using Bluetooth?
Because the battery life just doesn't work. And there's an awful lot of the Bluetooth headsets don't give you an opportunity to physically connect afterwards. So the headphones that Rich Harkness recommended about 6 months ago are brilliant because you can stick an audio line in. And if the Bluetooth runs out, you've got the physical connection to then... carry on listening, but
you got the quality drops here. Remember,
but most Bluetooth headsets, I'll stand corrected here, but I'd say 3 to 5 hours tops. So they're not going to do you a decent long haul flight, and then you're sat there twiddling your thumbs. And until they get the battery up, they're really going to struggle. No, but
you can have a $20 dongle, another $20 dongle. You got to buy
to the battery pack on his phone. I'm talking about the earphones, the Bluetooth earphones.
I wouldn't know what you're talking about. But I mean, even if Apple does go with this Lightning connector audio thing. It's another dongle, you know, and Apple's done it in the past. I don't put it past them doing it. And I think they're looking at, look, a lot of people have moved to Bluetooth anyway. Maybe you haven't, but, you know, a lot of people have. So there's other viable options. And especially if it turns out they're really investigating this higher quality audio stuff too, then, you know, it kind of makes sense.
I'll take the higher quality audio over, but I agree with you. And for the most part, Bluetooth headphones are a pain in the ass. The way I covered the flights is at Macworld, the last time we all went, one of the companies gave us a little stick charger about the size of this lighter. It's basically useless for an iPhone, but I use that to jack my Bluetooth headphones when I'm in the plane.
But you can't listen while you charge on nearly all Bluetooth. You can't listen while you charge on nearly all Bluetooth headphones.
On my crappy Beats one that I want, it does work.
But see, I've got Plantronics, and once that runs out of battery power, you've got to plug it in. There's no physical connection. You've got to plug it in to recharge it, and you cannot use the Bluetooth while it's charging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Beats that I have, they're like what you say, that you can just use it as a dumb headphone when you're not using the Bluetooth. But no, I'm saying again, the Bluetooth headphones, just the audio quality for the most time is something that I don't like, because I come from, like, I like audiophile-oriented things. Mm-hmm. So I would give up all of these headphone jacks to get something of better quality, because the 3.5 mm-hmm. millimeter jack has always been a world of suck. You know, so I'll get rid of them all. And it kind of sucks because I have a bunch of headphones. But I agree with Adam. There'll be a dongle to solve this problem. And the other hand, I would love to be able to hear better.
And do they include... my other question is, so if they do this, are they going to include crappy earbuds with a lightning jack?
Oh, they've always traditionally given away earbuds, haven't they? Yeah, good point.
Mm-hmm. They'd have to include a dongle in the box, surely.
$100 dongle.
No, I don't think they do the dongle. I wouldn't put it past them that they have. There have been some patents that they've been working on new earpod designs, and it could be possible that you get a new set of earpods with a lightning jack on them. I wouldn't put them.
They could do Bluetooth ones, couldn't they? They could do.
Yeah, and if they did that, I think that would at least give them a way to sort of silence some of the complaints. People are still going to complain because you got to get new headphones now. But in the grand scheme of stuff that Apple's done where they've killed ports, this one seems minor compared to other ones they've done. So I wouldn't put it past them, and it seems like there's more and more evidence pointing to the fact that this is going to happen.
Yeah,
whether it happens in the 7 cycle or not.
There's two things, though, Adam, to talk about here. Because the first one is I buy a set of earphones every time I take a train journey down to London, because I get to the train station, I'm like,
don't we all?
And I've forgotten them. Because the thing is, I use headphones for monitoring audio when I'm out shooting video and interviews and that kind of stuff out of my Atomos. So they tend to get put into that box, and then I forget to put them back into my other box. So I end up buying another pair. And then they come out of the bag, and they don't go into another bag. And it gets a pain in the ass. And I'm not buying lightning ones every single time I need to do that. But the other thought I had was, Apple have cracked battery in Bluetooth. They've got an ability to have 10 hours playback out of a set of, and that's why they've done this, because when they launch the 7, they're going to go, and you're all going to go, oh, well, we haven't got a headphone jack. Well, here you go, and here's a set of Bluetooth headphones that will last 10 hours of playback. I think that's what they've done.
They'd have to improve the quality, though, the sound quality. Yeah.
Forgive me just for saying this, Lee and Doc, but I think you two are at the nth degree of the iceberg, the very, very tip, because when it comes down to it, I appreciate good quality audio, don't get me wrong, but the Bluetooth headphones that I've got, the audio out of them is fine. It's perfectly good.
The Beats Power Wireless I have are good enough for podcasts, and they last, I think, 6 or 7 hours. So long enough.
I was thinking about all the kind of the pro audio stuff that's out now, especially for like recording, you know, guitar and music through, you know, an iPad or an iPhone. And pretty much everything that's been released in the last 2 or 3 years has all only been Lightning. So I've got all the Apogee stuff is what I use to record all my stuff. And that's all Lightning only. It used to be 3.5 mil till about 2 or 3 years ago. And then they just switched everything to Lightning. So actually thinking about it, it wouldn't affect me that much. Aside from, you know, I wouldn't be able to wear my headphones without an adapter, but from an audio, you know, I wouldn't say professional audio, but if you want to plug an instrument into your iPhone or your iPad, it's probably not going to make that much difference because most of them are all Lightning anyway.
Can I cover an angle that we haven't covered yet?
Oh, please, Doc, go ahead.
From the X-Genius perspective, as far as reparability goes, one of the things that we spend an awful lot of time digging 3.5 millimeter jacks out of because someone stuck their thing in their pocket and sat on it and snapped it off in their damn phone. So,
or something else is stuck in there.
Huh?
Or something else is stuck in that port.
Yeah, if you could convince more people to go to Bluetooth just to stop breaking phones, that would mean so much for the bottom line of Apple in the long run, and even like, you know, the repair parts and broken phones for stupid things like, you know, I had it dangled off my phone and slipped off, or the jack broke off. I just took a jack out of a phone 2 days ago.
Another thing that's adding to the credibility of this rumor, too, is the rumors we've been hearing that the iPhone 7 will be waterproof. So not having that 33.5 millimeter jack goes a long way to sealing up the device as well.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say exactly the same thing. I was in an Apple store just a few days ago getting my phone replaced, and there was a guy next to me getting his replaced as well, and he had some water. It's been raining quite a lot in the UK, and he had water actually get into the headphone jack. And he was getting his replaced because he'd obviously had his phone in his pocket the wrong way up, and water dripped down from his coat into his pocket and knackered his phone. So yeah, you're right, Adam. I think maybe the waterproofing could be the main driver for it. Maybe
I got to say that my current iPhone 6 got badly wet. It worked just fine, and now the volume out of the earpiece is reasonably poor. And it was because I went to a job and I got absolutely soaked. My phone was headphone jack down in my pocket, but it just got my clothes got so wet that it just couldn't stop it from wicking into it. And it went through the earphone piece, not the jack. So I think that's where you're going to have to really struggle. I think the earphone piece is slightly different from a speaker. So if you've got a speaker, you can have very small apertures that will stop water going through like you do with the watch. But I think the earphone piece is a bigger hole. We'll stand corrected and see. But
the one thing I don't believe is that Apple wants to remove it because of the size or the height of the port. No. Because if you look at the iPhone, the port isn't that high. It's probably more internal size. So I mean, you have to plug it. You have to plug the plug in. And that needs some space in the device, and also the port surrounding it needs some space. And I'm guessing that would be probably the real reason, because I don't think that you can make the phone much thinner just because you removed that port.
Yeah, no, I don't think I don't think the space that the port takes up is killing that much of a space within the iPhone anyway. Now it's got bigger. And they're not going to fill it with more battery because that just adds weight, and they've got a lightness thing going on there anyway. I think there is a quality issue. I think Lee's right. I think they want to strive for the better quality audio. And no matter what you do, 3.5 has got hiss that goes with it, no matter what system that you use. And I can speak that the Canon audio in and out is shit. I mean, it's disgusting. And you think about, you're paying $2,500 for a camera. They can't put a decent 3.5 mil in because it's, I can't remember the name of it. Is it AG... X or something like that is the system that they use, and it's just bollocks, rubbish.
Yep. It's kind of funny. I wish they had come out with similar to the Sony and Samsung wireless microphones, like a baby XLR. Like if we had that from day one, we would never be having this problem, because that thing sounds great. But I think the thing that's the most pain in the butt is when your 3.5 gets all crunchy. So we're like, you slightly move it and it goes like that drives me insane. And that's why I've always hated, that small plug, because it always seems to do that.
Breaks.
Yeah. Have you seen there's a thing this week that was announced from IK Multimedia that's like a handle camera grip thing that you put your iPhone into, and it's got an XLR input that then feeds via the 3.5. And I did a video of a guy, he wanted to explain something using a piece of pen and paper. And all I did was rest my iPhone with sound recorder on it, press record, and I just kind of raised it on an A4 file folder just closer to his mouth. And the audio quality off the inbuilt audio microphone on the iPhone was better than it gets off my Canon 6D. It was superb.
Ooh, are you talking about this iClip AV?
Yeah, it's like you can put an XLR in it, and then there's like a little loop, and it also makes a handle that you can hold and then attach to a... I need to find the link. I'll find the link and put it in the chat room. If you're worried about, like, where's the links, where do we go for the show notes and that kind of stuff, all you got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and there's a chat bot that sits in there that Anders has written for us, and it gathers everything. So find the relevant date. Today is Thursday, the 7th of January. Click on that, and you'll see all of the transcriptions that go on through the conversations from people in the chat room, and also all the links that we've got. And Doc's put the link in there. But that's I saw that this week and I thought, oh, I'm going to get one of those. But then actually, I don't really shoot with an iPhone anyway, but it would be a cool addition. But the one thing I want to say is the iPhone audio I shot a video with it, and I used the audio off that as the guy was explaining what he was writing on the finished video, and I just made some graphics that went over the top that explained it instead of his crap pencil sketch.
No, you know what? You know what you just said makes all the sense in the world. It would be a great audio capture piece, and you would just use the video so that you can sync it with the other video, so you can see the clipboard or the flash or the hand clap or whatever you use to sync. Final Cut Premiere kind of do it by itself now, but this would be really cool just as a capture device for audio.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing
you,
that was
if
nice
if you had
with
a
this,
drop out in a video somewhere where you needed a fill, you have a 4K fill that you can use as a B clip, but I can't believe it's 180 bones. That's it. That's awesome.
And the thing is as well, it's got like a little plate that you can clip your wireless audio pack onto and then go into it. It's brilliant. It's really good. And I've been looking for a cat. What I really want, and I want something that's sensible, not the one that's like $100 out there that's crap. I want, like the 1020 was beautiful because it had an extra battery pack that doubled as a camera grip. So you could really hold the 1020 properly. And there's nothing for that. There's a couple that are out there that are kind of pseudo like that for iPhone 6, but they're not as good. They're nowhere near as good as the 1020 was.
Do you remember that Fostex, like way back in the day when the iPhone first got, you know, known for this ability to record good audio, Fostex made a little thing that was like, it holds your iPhone and it had a place to put two good mics and it had two built-in good mics, and it died and went out the window, and I don't know where it went, and no one's made one since. So this is the closest thing I've seen since that, and I actually had that Fostex thing and I lost it at a gig after using it twice. So this is awesome. Thank you.
A Swiss watchmaker has manufactured a clone, in inverted commas, of the Apple Watch, which I don't know it's a clone, but Mosser and C have created this thing, and it's just like, why?
Not all. It's a joke.
I can figure this one out.
Is it a joke?
Yeah, it's not a clone. That watch is all analog.
No, it's an analog watch. But it's like the story starts off ahead of the Apple Watch launch. High-end Swiss watchmakers were critical of its design and Apple's efforts to position it as a high-end fashion item. But they've copied it anyway. But they haven't copied it. So
it's kind of a. I think it's a commentary. It's like, we're going to show you how to make, you know, with the same design but a, you know, precision Swiss analog watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
From a company I've never heard of.
Right. And I think it's still 24K for that watch, right?
It's an 18-carat white gold. It comes up at 42 millimeters. That's a surprising thing, isn't it?
And it's they took the same design and crammed in, you know, mechanical movement.
24,900, Adam. Get it right.
This is going to last. This will last forever, you know. And they in their PR release or the stuff that they put out on it, they basically copied Apple's video and then reversed all the specs to be, hey, look, you know, here's a watch that will, you know, last 30 years without, you know, needing to be recharged and blah, 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 blah.
There's only 50 of these being made.
Yeah, again, I think it was all done just to be a big, to get the buzz, to get people to talk about it. And, you know, now you know this company, right?
And we're talking about it. There we go.
Right.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Griffin have released a MagSafe, in inverted commas, USB-C connector for your MacBook. So with no MagSafe connector, because everything went through the USB-C port, you lost that ability to have your lead snap away and not cause damage. And they've come out with this thing that breaks away, which I've got to say sounds great, and it's £30. $39 for this thing, but it's £30. But it still leaves a bit sticking out. I don't see how it benefits at all, other than it doesn't yank your laptop off the table. Bit
not the nicest looking of things, is it?
No, it's not, and it still sticks out, and it's $40. So,
yeah.
It's funny that this thing's getting the most buzz, but Griffin brought out a bunch of USB-C stuff at CES. Including, they're going to now have a USB-C version of the iMic and their PowerMate, the little button, you know, the spinny weighted knob that you can connect.
I've got one of those, and it doesn't work with anything anymore. I love that
you should thing. You should talk to George Starcher. He's done some really interesting stuff with it, including he has some scripts to use it as a cough button.
Oh, please, put that in the chat room, mate. please, that'd be great, because I've just put one of those in the front office out of one of the drawers in here, and thought, well, I should throw it away because it doesn't work with anything now, but if I can get it to work, that'd be awesome, because I love that dial. I mean, it felt really heavy as well. It was like the quality of it, of the build, was awesome.
I have an original one. It's still awesome. Yeah, I've got one.
It sits on the desk and it doesn't go anywhere, and it feels like you're turning, like the eye drive on a BMW. It feels that kind of heavy quality. It's really good. In fact, better actually.
Yeah. Who knows if this code still works? This article's from 2011, but I know he's messed with it in the past.
No, thanks, mate.
Put it in the chat room.
Still in the chat room. Brilliant, superb. And there is a black Milanese loop popped up online for a few seconds and then disappeared. If you like the Milanese loop and you've always fancied it in black, not silver, to go with your watch, then now's your chance, because it's the Czech Republic Apple Store showed it today and then it disappeared, unquote.
It was always coming at some point, wasn't it? I was funny, I was in an Apple Store a few months ago and I was talking to one of the geniuses, and he said he'd just ordered a knockoff one off eBay, the black Milanese.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's quite a few of the geniuses wearing them in the shop that I went into.
Jet Tech makes one, a knockoff one, for $25 US. You can get on Amazon.
And Jet Tech should change its friggin' name, clearly. That's like Peter Piper picks a peck of pepper. The thing that gets me is Apple listened, right? And here's the strap for the sports strap. The last sports strap I had on the very last link, and then they brought out this longer one for all us fat fudgers, and thank you very much, Apple, I do appreciate it, but now I'm on the second from first link, and it's just like, why haven't you done that with any other straps? I would kill for a Milanese loop. I really would kill for a Milanese loop that fitted these pork sausages. But I cannot get one for love nor money. And if you look at the ones that are, say, oh, get a clone one, the clone ones don't work either. They don't open wide enough to go round that dimension there. I'm doing the circumference of my hand. So they fit my wrist. There's no problem with that. But the circumference of my hand, well, you know what they say about black circumference of their hands, mate.
This one looks like it has a mechanism that slides all the way through. Oh, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Buckle. It's in the way, yeah.
So, I mean, Apple, if you're listening, and I know you do listen to him every week, give us a longer Milanese loop, for Christ's sake. Come on, deal with the fat...
Can that... There would be a limit to that. I guess there wouldn't, if your wrist is wide enough, right?
It's not my wrist that's the problem, it's my hand.
Right, no, I get it.
So I've taken... I got hold of a Milanese loop, and I did the click and unlock thing, and held it over my wrist, and then someone else clicked it back in for me, and it fits just fine. It's a perfect fit on my wrist. My problem is I can't get it over my knuckles, and that's because they drag on the floor, and just before the emails come in. There we go.
Yeah.
That was the week in Apple news. I can't think of anything. Any other stories I've missed?
Opportunity.
They've bought a company.
Oh, they bought the facial expression.
That came out today. Another artificial intelligence facial recognition company.
I looked at that story, and I looked at it so long that I actually made a graphic for it. There you go. But I was sitting thinking, okay, is this like thumb to unlock or face to unlock, or is they just making it available for devs to create some shit app that I'll use for 5 minutes and never use again?
Could also be for their photo stuff, so they can improve face detection.
I don't know. Well, okay. I don't know how that improves face detection, though.
There's a lot of rumors that they've been doing a lot of R&D in virtual reality, augmented reality stuff. So there could be, especially in the augmented reality side of things, there could be a lot of applications here. So, you know, things like contacts app can recognize people and pull up their contact information, you know, right for you, those sorts of things. There could also be applications in the car, especially in the AI stuff, because I guess this company also did some AI work. So you have Siri applications and AI, you have the visual, you know, recognition stuff. I don't know if some of that stuff, even if it's facial recognition, if that also applies to just autonomous vehicles being able to recognize objects and do things. I would imagine there's some cross-pollination of technology there as well. I don't know.
Have you ever read the Daniel Suarez book, Demon?
I have so not.
There's a bit in there. I mean, this is way before Google Glass. He puts on, they've got a thing called DSpace, which is a set of glasses that you put on, and it recognizes people. So as you walk up to someone, it'll print on the inside of the glasses the name of the person so that you don't feel embarrassed that you haven't. So well, it's used to identify people.
Apparently this company that they just acquired did have a Google Glass application or something like that. I thought I
read that would be cool, because I'm really great with faces, but I'm crap with names. I can tell you someone I met 10 years ago that was on a training course with me, and I can tell you where they sat in the room and what the location was, and I can probably tell you the rough date that it was, but ask me what their first name is, I haven't got a clue.
So imagine too, because we've been hearing like the Apple Watch may get a camera at some point. So imagine if the Apple Watch had a camera and could be actively detecting, doing face detection, and then just display that information on watch as you walk up to meet with somebody.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. Although while you're pointing your phone at them would probably raise a question or two.
Well, they'd have to deal with angles and weird things. No, I mean, if it could pick up just from being, you know, hey, you're looking at your watch. I don't know how angles work, but I don't know enough about this technology. But it is interesting that Apple keeps acquiring. I mean, this is the second or third facial recognition technology company that they've picked up. So something's going on.
Yeah, Batwinch has suggested that I buy one of these from Amazon, which is currently unavailable, unfortunately. But apparently this helps me refasten my watch at the end. I've got to say, that looks more like a butt plug or a set of anal beads that have been straightened. But thanks, Batwinch. I hope you enjoy that every morning when you use it, girl.
Multifunction.
I'll wait for the reply in the chat room.
You can use it and then have a place to store it.
This podcast and all these is brought to you by UK2. We love them to bits. Thank you ever so much to UK2 for supporting us. You hear it every week, and it never gets tiresome, because every time you download a show, you should be sitting thinking, the only reason I can get this is because UK2 provide all the bandwidth. Between 22 and 25,000 people download this show every time it gets posted, and UK2 pick all the bandwidth for that. And all of the other shows across the whole network, the House of Cards show, the Gamer show, the Big show, the News show, the Drone show when we bothered to do it, the Photo show when we used to do it. And there's more shows coming this year as we start. There's allegedly going to be an Output show from Lee Garrett, and there's also going to be the Castaway show with Righty Boy coming out soon. So they will pick up all the bandwidth for that. And if they didn't support us, we could not afford to run as we currently do and keep everything going. And also, the NQL channel wouldn't work. And the NQL channel is only possible because of the support that they give us and the support that 100TB gave us for the live show and for the replay stuff. NQL is brilliant. Every day, if we're not broadcasting live, go onto the live page, britishtechnetwork.com/live, and just press play, and there will be a show there for you to watch from the distant past. It plays them at a random, and there is no telling what will come next, and once it's finished, it'll start all over again. We're going to add to that in the next few weeks, so the news show will be playing as well. So it'll just be probably the last 3 days of news show that we've had will play repeatedly throughout the working sequence, if you like, of that, and it's we're having a chat as well about perhaps doing the news show from that day in history. So if you know, you will get the 6th of July 2008, you will get the very first news show that I ever did, because that's still on the servers, and you'll be able to listen to it. So thanks to Anders, who's doing all the work on that. Thanks to UK for supporting us, and please support them. Please also support us through Patreon. There's been quite a few people who've amended their Patreon subscription over the Christmas period. Thank you so much to those people who have. We'll do a few of our Patreon heroes during the big show, but we're really grateful. It makes a massive difference to us. We pay Kyle to do the news show, so some of your donations go into helping him do that, and also it buys things like the odd set of lights and that kind of thing for Righty Boy or for Wheaters or for me, or any equipment that we need to keep the network going. The laptops are starting to get, or the Mac Minis are starting to get a bit creaky and groany. We might have to replace those soon as well. So anything that you can do support the network, please go to patreon.com/British Tech Network and give us a donation. Also, be careful, because PayPal has a nasty habit of, if there's something wrong with your card or if they can't be bothered that month, they just stop taking the money out. So Patreon are billing them going, oi, give us the money, and PayPal's going, no, sod off. And the first you know about it is when I say, please check your subscriptions, because PayPal's got a nasty habit of doing this. They don't send any notifications for it, and it's happened. Cause, and the reason I know it's happened is because Muller's had it happen to him. Please check that your subscription is being taken in Patreon. If it's not, you need to refresh it or have a word with PayPal, because they can be a bit of an arse, has to be said.
Some people should know, too, just on there, just in general with Patreon, because Patreon displays that number, right? Mm-hmm. When the payments go south, that number is not adjusted to reflect that. So a lot of times people think, oh, this person's making X, and, you know, a big chunk of that could be exactly having that problem that you mentioned, Ewan, where someone's pledged, but their pledge actually isn't being collected, and you don't even know that.
Well,
so.
Neither I don't know, and neither does the pledger.
Right. So I'm just saying, I've known people who have avoided Patreons because they look at a number and they think, oh, well, they don't need it.
Yeah, well, we do.
You know, they don't need mine. No, I know.
If they look at our number, they'll go, oh,
shit.
Just
so people are aware, because it's not really transparent. And I know a lot of people on Patreon have been trying to work with those guys on that.
In terms of the podcasting community and the people that are podcasting that are using Patreon, we're the bloke that sits on the corner with a tin cup saying, children to feed. cool things. Lee, start us off, bud.
Yeah, so I'm just putting mine in the chat room now for everybody. So mine is an iPad, or actually an iPhone app called Pigment. This is a colouring book app. So it's something that I've been, as soon as I got the iPad Pro, I was waiting for someone to bring out, well, hopefully, and they have now. So this isn't going to be great for the audio people, but you can see there on my screen, this is just something I just chucked together just in the first few minutes of just messing around with it. But basically the way it works is it works on a subscription model. So it's free to download and you get quite a few different sketches that you can draw with. but you either pay basically, I think it's £3 a month or £18 a year. So £18 for a whole year of books is nothing. Yeah. And you can just see as an example here again on screen. So if I just pick one, these are basically, you get three for free, and then all these ones are the ones that you get if you've subscribed. And the actual tools themselves, you get, you know, pencil, paintbrush, you get all the different tools, you get loads of different colors. Really intuitive app. I've had a few issues just where I've loaded it, and there's been a few errors, but I think I stood that down to my network connection rather than anything else, where it's tried to download the images. But I just find, you know, just sketching away, you know, and it's quite relaxing. And it's something that I just quite like doing. And this is probably the best app that I've found. So I definitely recommend that if there's any other colorers out there.
All right, mate. That's good. I mean, what's the variance of the tools like? Is it as good as Adobe Sketch, or is it kind of rudimentary? Is it markers only? Is it kids-based crayon type stuff? Or can you do full variations? And
yeah, so you can see I've got, you can see just a dolphin on the screen there, and the options I've got here are it's basically a pencil, a paintbrush, there's like a felt tip marker, you can fill as well, and you can do gradients. So if you want to do like a background where you've got a gradient where it's, you know, darker at the bottom to the top, you can do all that kind of stuff. It's not as, you know, there's not as many tools as you'll find in, you know, Procreate or any of the Adobe stuff. These are the basics, like you said, really, but they're fine for this. You wouldn't need anything else really for this kind of colouring.
As long as there's some artistic availability left, and it's not just like a blocks wax crayon type thing.
No. The point is it is a colouring. I mean, you're just supposed to colour, so it's not a drawing. Yeah.
No. But I mean, if you look at the homepage of this thing, it's got someone who's applying effects within the black lines.
Right.
So
yeah.
The question I was going to ask as well is there a black line inhibitor so that you can't go over the lines?
Yes. Basically, you can either go over. You can either, you know, do it as you would on a piece of paper and try and stick within the lines, or you can basically tap on that section of the drawing and it won't let you go over it. You can colour, you know, the whole iPad and it'll just stick within that space.
Because that's where my colouring in falls down terribly.
Toggle it on.
Give it a go. It's really, really nice, especially with the iPad Pro and the pencil. It works really well.
I was going to say the black line thing is a nice thing if you want to just quickly finish. Because the illustrations are so detailed, you can be really zoomed out and you can, you know, quickly finish a coloring if you want to just blow through it by using that mode, because you just tap the region and then it sort of masks it, and then you can color it, and then you tap the next region. But you don't have to turn that on. It's totally at your option to turn it on.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and you can zoom right in on the image as well. I mean, you can zoom all the way in. So if you don't want to, if you do want to try and color within the lines without using that kind of that hack, but you can zoom right into the image and color it in.
Some of us need that. Piss off, Adam. What's your pick, man?
I am gonna get a little in the technical weeds because this one's a little tricky to do. It's just shy of doing a full jailbreak, but there's an app for Apple TV called Provenance. And it is a basically a MAME or a game emulator for old Genesis and Super Nintendo, ROMs. Oh, man. So you're going to have to get your own ROMs, and we're not going to get into how to do those. The legalities of it. But this will let you play older Sega and Nintendo video games on your Apple TV. But you cannot get it through the Apple Store or the App Store for obvious reasons. So you have to build it yourself using Xcode. But they have very clear, very simple, easy instructions. Probably the trickiest thing that you'll have to do is get a USB-C to USB-A cable, because you got to plug directly into your Mac, because you basically have to sideload the app onto your Apple TV. But then once you do, it has a network mode where it basically sets up a server, and then you can just load your ROMs by basically uploading them directly to the Apple TV. So I was able to go back and play some old Genesis games that I used to love, including like Sonic the Hedgehog, you put Mario World on here, all that fun stuff, Zelda.
Sonic.
So if you want to play that stuff on your Apple TV, this will let you do it. And a lot of it uses something called OpenMU, EMU, which is a very popular emulator for the Mac now too, that lets you play all these old video games. And then for the Apple TV, I would really recommend that you have a controller, something like the SteelSeries controller from, am I going to blank on that company's name?
Recommending from 3 weeks ago on.
Yeah, the recommendation that I had a couple weeks ago. But yeah, it's really cool, a lot of fun, and it's not too difficult, but it is a little on the, you are going to have to get in the weeds a little bit and download Xcode and grab it, build it, deploy it to your Apple TV yourself. So.
Talking about subjective and difference of opinion, Patrice in the chat room has put down, I might have to buy an Apple TV now. And Muller said, I could watch the paint dry or the grass grow instead.
There we go. It's really not that hard. And like I said, they do have clear instructions on the site that I linked to in the chat room. So,
I recommend who recommended Kano? Was that you, Adam?
Yeah, isn't that thing great?
Oh, freaking hell, man. It's got nothing to do with Apple at all, but I bought that for Ellis, and we sat and we built the computer, and we sat together, and we sat and learnt to code, and we did cow speak, and it was awesome. Awesome. Bryony did it with us as well, and even she was remembering. Doc.
My daughter's screen kit showed up this week, so she just added the screen, so she's got a whole computer now.
Well, we just plugged it into the plasma, so.
Yeah,
that worked pretty well. The only thing I will say is the wireless dongle. It's a piece of shit, absolute piece of shit. You've got to plug it in. It's sat next to the router and it's going, oh, I need a connection for that. And then you click OK, make a connection. It goes, you've already got a connection. What the hell are you doing? I don't know if that's an initiative test and I failed or something, but
you might contact them. Their support was really great. We had an issue with ours, a small issue, and they jumped right on top of it in terms of the software. And we've not had any issues with the wireless dongle. So you may ping them through Twitter or through their support.
Well, I'll just plug it in there. It works.
You might have just got a bum dongle. You might want to have them swap it out.
My bum dongle.
Hey, you can use that for the show title.
I think that was the picture that Batwinch put in the chat room earlier. There you go. That's a bum dongle.
All right. So my figure.
Oh, Doc, what's your pick, mate?
One is a bit of vaporware that was announced today or yesterday that I'm just praying that it comes true. So I just put it out there so the rest of you can collectively pray with me. It is a 3-in-1 flash drive by Lexar. that features a USB 3 on one end and a lightning port on the other end and 128 gigabytes in the middle somewhere. And it would allow you to do things like move files back and forth to your phone and your iPad via the lightning and to your computer, or like say from your camera to your lightning, whatever. It's just a really cool device. Let's just pray that this actually comes out, because it seems like it's going to be awesome at 95 megabytes per second. Now, the actual pick is this thing called Carbo. There's a company called Creaseed. And if you remember on the Macworld floor, Raphael and Sandrine were the two of the developers of this company. And they make some really cool image-oriented applications for the Mac and for the iPhone. When the iPhone got better in the graphics, they went really all out focusing on iOS apps that can do some really cool things graphically. Like, they were one of the first to do this, like make ugly people look cute with an app, or make an app that would allow you to pick up objects in a photo and move it to somewhere else. This thing is an app called Carbo. I really don't get the name. It must be a French thing. But it allows you to take hand-drawn sketches that you might draw something on a cocktail napkin or a paper, or like a moleskin, and you take a photo of it and then brings it in. And now you can manipulate that image. You can edit it. You can move things around. You can store it in the cloud storage. It's easy to organize and share your ideas, because I am a doodler. Like, I sketch on just about everything I can get my hands on. I used to get beat by the principal in Catholic school because I always wrote in the books. And now there's an app that works for someone whose brain thinks like, you know, pictures. So it's a really cool app. You got to watch the videos in order to really get a full grip of it. It's about $8. But if you're a doodler at all and you think in hand pictures, this is probably something that you need.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess the name comes from like the old school carbon paper. Remember how you used to be able to like copy and drawings with?
Adam, you sneaky bugger, you, with the bum dongle. Probably right. You're probably right. One of the things I thought was cool, speaking of that, Adam, you know how Mythbusters, they always do the sketches on the blue paper? Once you get it in how you want it, you can change the background to that blue paper with the, you know, the white or silver pen. So yeah, cool. Maybe you're
nice.
Right. Yeah, it's really, really cool. And I sketch, like, I have so many moleskins around here, I can stick my arm out and grab like five of them. They're everywhere because I keep buying them, even to the point where I started collecting them. And I had a podcast based on them at one point, and I got sick of doing it.
Get help, dude. Get help. Patrice, what have you got as a pick for us, mate?
I think I'm going to switch my pick. I wanted to pick a book,
bastard.
But I'm going to pick an app.
I've made a graphic!
You have made a graphic? Then I'm going to pick the book.
You'll stick to that pick and like it, boy.
It's available on Amazon. The book is titled Move Your DNA. I've tried Audible and I've listened to it, and it's actually a pretty, pretty great book, because it really talks about how we live, how we move, everything really we do, whether we sit, lie, whatever, how that influences really our DNA and our body and our markup, how we really function. And it really helps you to change that and to really to improve your health at the end of the day. And the lady who's written that, Katie Bowman, also narrated it, if you listen to the audiobook, I don't know why, but she can explain really complicated things like DNA and how your DNA is influenced and all of that, and how you are also your cells and all of that are influenced really, really clearly and simply. And I really enjoyed that book. And the funny thing about the audiobook is she recommends that you read it or listen to it while you walk. And she, with every chapter you get, how far you will walk in this chapter and all of that. So now, it's a really great book, and I can just read it or listen to it. It's great.
Will you allow me to play devil's advocate for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
So she's not called Dr. Katie Bowman, which does get, when you get to this kind of stuff, fills me with like a bit of woo-woo shit. If you can love yourself healthy type stuff, and the quantum physics of the universe, etc. bollocks. Is she talking bollocks, or is she actually
No, she's, I mean, I don't know because I have to look into the science behind it, but she is a scientist. So she's not a doctor or anything, but she's a scientist. She has a degree in this stuff. So she knows what she's talking about. And she at certain points, she also tells you that, yeah, the reality is a little bit more complicated, but I'm going to simplify it for you because, it's a book and it's for normal people and not scientists.
So she's a scientist, not a charlaton, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Thank you for letting
me. I don't know. I have to look into the science, really, because with everything there's interpretation.
As opposed to, now that's a really good healthy pick. Clearly links in with the 1st of January and your New Year's resolution to get healthy and lose weight and that kind of stuff. However, your other pick is a wine scanner, dude.
Yes, that's what I had picked alternatively. It's a wine scanner. It allows you to, I mean, it's free, and it allows you to basically scan the label on the wine, and it, at least for the wines here in Germany, it recognized them, and then you can build up your own wine cellar. You can see how they are. I mean, you can vote how you liked it. You can see how other people have voted. You can get recommendations, and there is a premium subscription model behind it where you can get even more features, more recommendations, all of that. But the free version is actually, I would say, pretty good and good enough.
I've used two of these in the past, and I've got to say they were universally shite.
Yep.
Once you get away from something that's in Morrison's, they haven't got mm-hmm. a clue.
I've scanned a few local wines from local wineries that you really can't buy in any supermarket, and it immediately found them, and it also had really information and also some votes on it. So seems to be good, at least for Germany. I can't really say how it looks like in other countries.
This is from app developer Klaus von. No, I'm only kidding. I'm offering that as a caveat, and do beware mm-hmm. because the in-app purchases for the premium version are £39.99.
There's also monthly subscription.
It's more than the bottle of wine that it uses in the advert.
Yeah,
only $20. So
you know, now that they have 12 million or 13.1 million users, it might work. Back in the day, Drink and some of the other ones, I think their problem was they were never over like 2 million users. And I think you need to have a lot of users in order to let the database yeah. grow. Also, since that time, ability to store all of this data without getting charged $1 billion has gone down because of Amazon and Aptivate, whatever the company is. So I think we might be getting there with this, because I've thought about doing an app like this myself for sake and whiskeys and stuff. And I always thought mm-hmm. it would just be really difficult until you get plenty of users. Wine users will be like this, but I think whiskey guys won't. But this is cool. I don't even.
Or you need a great source of, I mean, of high quality recommendations. Something like a sommelier or something for wine. Then you can do it too.
Yeah, but even sommeliers, you know, the amount of wines that they can take in their lifetime yeah. are fairly limited.
It's limited.
They're certainly yeah. not.
Yes,
and most of them are douches.
What you want is a supermarket buyer for a wine. For wine.
I think they took the scanning out of this app, but have you guys ever tried NextGlass?
No.
So what they're doing is they're taking a Pandora-like approach to it, where they have experts come in and then build taste profiles of all kinds of beer and wine, and then as you buy stuff and you add it to the app, you tell the app what you like, and then they try to make recommendations based on the taste profile of what you like. Mm, so they're looking good. At all of the different elements and yeah. trying to match things up that way. Just like Pandora supposedly does with music, right? Where they analyze music down to the individual sort of components of it. They're doing mm-hmm. the same thing for beer and wine.
This app does that too. I think it's in the paid.
Steve Neighbor, who comes on the podcast, he's got right next to him, he's got a very good curry house that does takeaway. It's the food's nearly as good as Kismet. And right next door on the opposite side of the street is a place called Theatre of Wine, and it does the most fantastic wines. And every time I go and stay at his place, I get off the tube, I walk down to Theatre of Wine, buy a couple of bottles of red, and then go around to the house and say, hi, I'm here, here's a bottle of wine. And they're great. But the thing is, I was just thinking about, what, you know, let's look at your taste preferences. Mine go in, and I'm like, I like really heavy plummy reds, and don't give me anything that's 12.5%. I'm not giving you good money for 12.5% alcohol. I want 14% alcohol, or I'm out the frigging door.
There you go. This might help.
I'm just wondering whether the app goes for the subtleties. Oh, it has notes of leather and whipped cream, and you're like, no, 14%, or stick your app up your ass.
Oh God. There you go.
I want to say that the next time I go shopping for wine, that's going to be my thing. When they try to tell me,
oh, come on, everybody does that. Current. Everybody does that.
Yeah.
Everybody goes in, they pick a bottle of wine up at Tesco or Morrison's, and they look at it and they go, oh, that looks nice. And then they look in the bottom left corner, it goes 12.5, and they go, bollocks, and put it back. Everyone does that. I'm sure they do.
All right, Ewan, I think we're at you. Right? Your pick.
Well, Deep Pan says he buys a bottle of Thunderbird, for Christ's sake. I mean, steady on. All right, that bad. My pick is a podcast. Now, nice. I curate my podcasts very carefully because I don't do a lot of driving anymore. I tend to get the train a lot more now. So if I listen to your podcast, you know that, in my estimation, it's a really good podcast, I promise you. And my podcast that I've been listening to religiously is Radiolab. I absolutely adore this podcast. I've only listened to probably a dozen of them in the last few weeks. I love my Infinite Monkey Cage and the humorous elements of the science and all that kind of stuff. And I've listened to a bit of All in the Mind and a few of the other Jimmy Alka-Seltzer things for science. And I can't get into that. But Radiolab is great, and it's really cool because they'll pick a topic. And for instance, I'm way, way back, right at the start of the catalogue, trying to work my way forwards. And there's one there called Loops. And you're kind of like, okay, so we'll talk about the science of loops or looping or patterns of looping in science. And it's not. It just goes off to a guy who invented the loop the loop, who wanted to do the loop the loop. And it's a guy who... he was like this huge daredevil pilot in the 30s. He ended up dying, actually, in San Francisco Bay. And the only thing that's left of him in popular culture is a jump rope rhyme. And they go through it. And they go through the whole story of how this guy lived and died. And he crashed. His wings broke off his plane. And he fell into San Francisco Bay right next to Alcatraz. And he actually died from drowning because when he hit the water at full speed, the only thing he did was break his leg. And it's really amazing. And then they go on to a bit where they talk about whales living and dying. And you're kind of like, what the hell's this got to do with loops? And effectively, when a great white whale dies, it sinks to the bottom of the ocean, and it actually sustains other life for the same period of time that it lived. So typically whales live for 50 to 70 years, and this thing will provide a habitable environment for 50 to 70 years for animals on the bottom. So that's the loop effect of it. And then they had a woman who woke up one morning and rung her daughter and said, things are different. There's a car on the drive I don't know. And it was her boyfriend's car that had been there for the last 10 years. And she said, what time is it? What day is it? How did I get here? And she went through this loop. Every 90 seconds, her brain would reset itself. And she'd ask the same questions over and over and over and over again. And you think it's going to be all science-based stuff, and it's not. It's just the word loops, and pick what you fancy talking about with loops. It's absolutely brilliant. I absolutely adore it. And I'm still 3 years back at the moment. So I've got a lot of listening to do. There was a guy, I went to a Network Rail function at their at Westwood, and the guy that ran the AV, I was talking to him, and he said, try listening to Radio App. I think you'll love it. And he is not wrong. I absolutely adore it.
The other thing about that show is, if you want to know the best audio production value ever, the thing that we all should strive for is probably what they put together.
Yeah.
Like how that show is assembled and paced and how the audio is put together is unbelievable.
In a week.
I think the best production is Radiolab and Freakonomics on any podcast. They're so well put together and they're so well done. The audio is so amazing.
Which is surprising because it's an American podcast.
That's funny. That's funny.
Oh, man.
And it's not Hawaiian.
Doc, Muller and I were having a conversation in the car on the way over how you've got no sense of humor whatsoever when we dig you. You just take offense and throw your teddy in the corner.
No, because I just don't even bother trying to get into it with you guys because you guys are relentless. That's like freaking trying to put your pecker in a pit bull's mouth. This is silly. Step away from it.
We're A, witty, and we've got B, no moral conscience. There you go.
I would reverse that order, but that's up to you. You guys do a lot of things backwards.
Where can we get a hold of you, Lees?
Twitter is LJPUK, and just my blog is waitingtodownload.net.
And you're on the guitar
on
show.
As well, the guitar show.
Yes, we've got a guitar show coming up, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, good, it's coming up. There's one recorded, and then I'm just at the moment just looking at how we're going to schedule them going forward in terms of, you know, frequency. So if anyone's got any feedback on that, then let me know. But I'm looking at it maybe every couple of weeks for the guitar show. But
yeah, I mean, you're relatively new. I know you've been doing it for 6 months, but you're relatively new, I guess, still. There's no reviews for the guitar show, so you could be the first person to review the guitar show. And it's really well worth listening to. I've played along with Lee in the nicest sense of the word since he started the show. I've really enjoyed it. So, no, that's not getting any better. Okay, moving on. Listen to the guitar show. It's great. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me on iTunes as MacCast or MacCast.com. Also MacCast on Twitter and every week on the iOS show at the iOSshow.com.
Excellent, mate. And if you don't listen to MacCast, that should be the first Mac podcast you subscribe to, then the Mac show. Deep Pan in the chat room says, get a landing net. We've got us a big un. Doc, oh, the fish hook.
I can't stop laughing.
Where are you, man?
I'm all over the interworld.
Can I show you all right?
As Doc Rock. Somewhere catching crap in the Slack room from Mueller and Ewan. Which I still don't know what these strikes are for, but so far I got two of them. You know, I'm not sure we're playing bowling, which, you know, 10, 13 strikes is great, or we're playing baseball, and I got one more, because he never specified.
Oh,
neither one of which are British sports, so I don't know. I could be one of those, what do you call those guys, the grasshoppers? No, crickets. I could be a cricket. I don't even know what that is.
Cricket's a great game, mate. It's where you can play for 5 days and still not have a result. Americans.
That's called arguing with the old lady, actually.
No, I'm serious. If you go back to 2005, go to YouTube and type in Ashes 2005, I think it was Edgbaston, draw. That is one of the ultimate dramas of cricket. They played against Australia. England played Australia for 5 days, and they needed 2 runs off the last ball, and they didn't get them. And it was 5 days of watching it, biting your fingernails, and at the end it was a complete draw, and you're like, and that was the best cricket match I've ever seen, and they won one. There you go.
So cricket is people sit on their behinds for 5 days and then call it a drama.
No. See,
kidding.
There's, if you actually think to get inside the mind of people when they're cricketing, how to force activities, how to get a wicket, how to change things around, it's infinitely variable. It's life itself, mate. It really is life itself. And if you look at the Australians, the way that they sledge people and the way that they deny them what they want, there was a great bit this last Ashes series where the danger batsman was the guy that's just got all the runs this week, what's his name,
the wicketkeeper?
No, the bowler, all round
wicket googly.
Oh, gold, yeah.
What's his name? Come on.
Oh.
He got the 200 plus.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've got his name. But he likes after the over to go back and touch his bat in at a certain point on the crease. And the Aussies worked this out. And Warner and this other guy, after the end of the over, ran to this spot and stood there so he couldn't touch his bat in, just to unsettle him. So he couldn't do his routine. And he got absolutely sod all runs.
Was he SPD Smith?
Ben Stokes.
Ben Stokes, there we go, that's him.
Oh, I was just making crap up.
But no, I mean, if you go and see and watch a test match or go and watch county cricket, it's a shit game.
No, it's not.
Patrice, where the hell are you?
Here on the Mac Show every week on Twitter at @casual_kitchen, and all the links and stuff I do on thepatrice.com.
And boast on your pick, generally piss constantly on German cheap leaf Framilch or Black Tower. Do you get Black Tower in German?
I don't think so.
German wine that isn't available in German, got to be good. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, except I don't go there much because I'm in the Slack room. And Doc mentioned the Slack room. If you want to get in the Slack room, all you do is send an email saying, please let me in the Slack room, to britishchatnetwork@gmail.com. There's a little set of rules in there. Don't post anything offensive. Don't DM people without them knowing. And don't start posting memes that are going to get people upset. Otherwise, you're going to get your ass kicked out. But other than that, it's a fantastic, wonderful community. We've got 3 free chat rooms in there. So there's the Slack room, there's the photo show, and also there's Shite or Not, which is a movie review place. So and we're going to add to that as we go along and see where we get with it in the end. But come along, join in the chat room. You will love it. The Slack room is awesome. Yeah. It runs every day, 24 hours a day. Constantly. Got people in every time zone across the planet, and the help is superb. There are 3 Apple geniuses, ex-Apple geniuses, in that room as well. So if you've got a question, chances are you're going to get it answered by someone who knows what they're talking about, as opposed to me. Or a fanboy. we'll see you next week. 2016. Thanks for listening.